Welcome to North Christian Church's audio blog. I'm Pastor Ed Collins, the author of this blog. This week's blog, dated November 19, 2021, is titled, Being Kind Without Compromising Your Integrity. One of the most antagonistic forces ever birthed against Orthodox Christianity today is political correctness, PC. It now has bratty little children, too, like cancel culture and social justice with their so-called, quote, warriors fighting for them. And for the record, I don't have a problem with doing good and fair things, only with the perversions these ideologies represent. I think most of us have run into PC or its heinous children at some time or another in our lives. If we were standing up for Christ, it probably wasn't a pleasant experience. Being, quote, PC, as far as I can tell, means being a slave to someone else's definition of tolerance. In other words, the world wants to control our thinking, or if it can't do that, at least control our actions. Even our speech is being imposed upon. What happened to freedom of speech and religion? Wikipedia says, the First Amendment of the United States Constitution declares that, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Don't worry, I'm not going to get all political on you. I'm just trying to make a simple point. Since this blog's topic is kindness, I'll narrow it down. The world's concept of kindness simply doesn't fit into the Bible's definition. It neither resembles the kindness that Jesus illustrated during his incarnation, nor what the Holy Spirit inspires in God's children. Jesus and his apostles were incredibly disruptive to their society. In fact, most of them were martyred because their contemporaries did not perceive them as kind at all. They were hated because they were messengers of the gospel. What's kinder than God offering salvation to sinners, I ask? They were persecuted for being kind enough to put their own lives at risk so that some might hear the gospel and be saved. Acts 5:27-33 reads, And when the Jewish leaders had brought them, they sat them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. Again, I ask, what's kinder than giving a person who's destined for hell the word of truth that saves, namely the gospel? 1 Peter 1:23 reads, You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. I'm not sure there's anything kinder than this. Jesus taught his disciples to transcend the animosity we are sure to run into, remaining kind and merciful without compromising our integrity. We will be blessed for doing so. Luke 6:31-38 reads, And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, will be measured back to you. According to Jesus, we believers are called to transcend earthly norms and standards, regardless of whether or not they spawn animosity towards us. For example, to love an enemy is a kindness the world cannot lay hold of. Consider the wars throughout human history. Why so many? Where's this so-called, quote, kindness the world wishes to saddle me with? It's a ruse, my friend. It's all about control. It's a rigged game designed to discourage anyone's relationship with Christ or, furthermore, ever becoming like him. Does the Bible teach that all anger is sinful? Not at all. If anger is righteous, then it is godly. For example, it is right to be angry when someone steals from you. However, we must also be understanding, transcendent, forgiving. Just think about how much you were forgiven. Luke 6:31 and 7:47. Ephesians 4:26-32 reads, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." We are called to be merciful the way Jesus was, who, while dying on his cross, said, quote, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23:34. We ought to transcend errors born of ignorance, for this is a kinder response than compromising our integrity to the Spirit who indwells us. Will it be challenging at times? Sure, but be encouraged. Quote, "A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself." Proverbs 11:17. When you are persecuted for being kind, remember that a spiritually dead person is utterly incapable of understanding the word of truth. 1 Corinthians 2:14 reads, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." A spiritually dead person will always reject a biblically motivated person's brand of kindness. Why? Because the greatest kindness a believer can manifest is sharing Christ and his gospel, then living it out to boot. This is offensive to a person, quote, "following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience," Ephesians 2:2. In fact, the human flesh hates the Spirit of Christ, quote, "for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit," Galatians 5:17a. Since the Spirit is working kindness out in you as you are sanctified, you will be persecuted for it. Galatians 5:22-23a reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Before I close, I'd like to draw your attention to the special calling we have towards others in the faith. We are family after all. Galatians 6, 9-10. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. There may be times when your kindness is offensive to brothers and sisters in Christ too. Galatians 4:16. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? As Paul encouraged the Galatians, let us do good, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. Satan is always looking to cause divisions among believers. We must double down on our efforts to avoid this, quote, and give no opportunity to the devil, Ephesians 4:27. Colossians 3:12 through 17 reads, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. 1 Peter 3:8 through 9 reads, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. You see, my friend, kindness is a relative concept. The world's definition includes a clause about never being offensive. However, the good news about Jesus Christ, our Savior, the greatest kindness we can ever stand for, is inherently offensive to the human flesh. It's okay to be simultaneously kind in Christ and offensive to others. Do not compromise your integrity just because the world tries to bully you or throws a tantrum every time its feelings get hurt. The kindest thing you can ever do is to live graciously and mercifully without grieving the Holy Spirit who indwells you. Leave the rest in God's hands. 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 31 reads, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed this, please visit us at nccdighton.org. Until next time, God bless and have a wonderful day in God's matchless grace.